Joining me now, City Manager Aaron Reynolds and Project Manager Megan Messmer, who's also the former interim City Manager this past year in 2020. Good day to both of you.
Hello.
So back early in early part of last year, we kind of had one focus, and then February and March came along and kind of changed things for us. What were the preparations like for the city, Aaron, when that first came to light, when COVID-19 kind of first hit?
Well, I actually thought we'd maybe spend a little bit of time on January and February too, but we can definitely talk about COVID and
how we ended up responding as a city.
But also just for people to get used to our voices, I'm Aaron Reynolds. I'm the city manager. Thanks for having us on here today, George. And Megan Messmer is our city project manager and public information officer. And in addition, she did act as in capacity as city manager for the 3 months that I was off on maternity leave. So 2020 was a very full year for us at the city and in our personal lives. And then, of course, for all of humanity, as we quickly became aware of a pandemic that was hitting our nation and came home to reality for Oregon the first week of March.
Well, let's go
Megan,
ahead.
Would you like to share your voice so people can kind of get an understanding of the three of us here talking today?
Yes, I'm Megan Messmer, the city project manager and public information officer. And as Aaron said, we did have some really exciting things happening the first 2 months of the year. And then, as we all know, our lives changed quite a bit as we had a shared experience with the rest of the world, which doesn't happen very often. And we had to pivot and redefine what 2020 looked like.
All right, let's go back then and talk about January and February and kind of what was the plan going into 2020?
Well, the plan for 2020 was, I really had a sense in working with the city council and with our staff and just in and about our community, was we were really going to start seeing the fruits of our labor come to fruition from either decades or years worth of work, those being Revision Florence. We had in the works several large capital projects. We were just getting finished with one full year operating out of the newly remodeled and expanded City Hall. We were really getting our feet under us for large-scale city events and gatherings like the State of the City, and we had an incredibly awesome city expo that we paired with the State of the City event at the end of January in 2020. We participated in partnership for the first time in a community and citywide education expo day at the end of February. It was actually on February 29th. That was our last normal experience for the year. And we were just on a high at that point. We were just so excited to be in a tangible way partnering with the Siuso School District and just the broader education community, showcasing both there at that event and at the City Expo, city activities and programs, and really highlighting and introducing sometimes for the first time our city staff at different levels of the organization to the community. And I was feeling really great about 2020. We were really excited to be seeing the fruits of our labor of those partnerships coming out in real life in the community and making a real difference.
Now, I almost forgot. I mean, you just reminded me now is that last January, this time last year, you guys were celebrating your 1 year anniversary in the new City Hall.
Yeah, we were celebrating our 1 year anniversary in there. And like Aaron said, I think the entire city staff and many members of our community were just excited as we went into our State of the City and City Expo, really sharing what we had planned for the year, what we had accomplished, and different projects that had moved forward over the previous year. It just seems so mind-boggling that that was in 2020. It seems so long ago. But as Aaron mentioned, we had lots of things planned. We had some large community events we were working on, some exciting ideas for city hosted things at the event center, and then our partnerships with our partner organizations to see how we could be more involved there. We did become more involved with many of our partner organizations, just in a different way than we thought. We've been working with them very closely on emergency response since then, and have built some good relationships that I think will only be enhanced as we move into 2021.
Now, when March came, I don't think anybody had any kind of clue that this was going to be as long-term as it's been. What were the first initial plannings as far as the city goes to deal with what was happening?
One of the things we had planned for 2020, and in fact, we even had it as one of the primary subjects for the city council training that we also did in January and February timeframe of 2020, is we were really starting to work on our emergency operations plan, enhancing our partnership with the West Lane Emergency Operations Group, or we call that WELOG. That includes Sioux Valley Fire and Rescue, Western Lane Ambulance, among many. And so we were really starting down that road, training, talking with the council, what it would be like for a disaster. Obviously, I think most of us know that we have always thought the worst disaster that could possibly happen was the Cascadia event, and planning for that, which we still do and we still think about. And yet, all of a sudden, we had to really use our collective minds, our thoughts, different technical expertise and connections to deal with an unprecedented pandemic that was facing the world, our nation, and then finally it really did come home to Oregon. So we started doing things just like we always did, and quickly had to pivot to learning how to work in a disaster where there was no escaping that disaster. And I know this is kind of weird to say, but typically in a physical event disaster, there is some safe place or high ground or dry ground or cooler or hotter or whatever it may be. You can somehow kind of insulate yourself from the disaster to respond to the disaster. I mean, you always have people on the ground, boots on the ground, fighting the fire or putting out sandbags or directing traffic. But there's usually a way to have a safe command central and emergency operations center. And I remember the moment that Megan said to me, "Why in the world are we meeting in person? This is a virus that we're fighting, and it's affecting all of us. And the one big risk is, as we learned quickly about the virus, that it was highly communicable disease and that we didn't need to be in close proximity. So how do we do this virtual pivot?" So while the world was learning how to stay home to save lives, we also had to learn how to have an emergency operations center with ourselves and with Lane County and with the state of Oregon, and of course, like I said, the nation, in virtual ways. So we all we just set up systems that were virtual. So not only did we end up pivoting and working from home if we could, city staff, we were running a virtual EOC. And I'll let Megan maybe talk a little bit more about that.
And I think too, when you know when the contingencies are there, you know, you find a way to discover new things, to build upon new things, and create things that may be even lasting after the pandemic. Wouldn't you agree, Megan?
Yes. So as Aaron mentioned, we were activating our emergency operations center, bringing together our partners, and as we sat in that first meeting, of course, we were all spaced. But I looked around the room and we had our basically incident command from the hospital, the fire department, the ambulance district, the police, the school district, all these really vital people for however we were going to address what was coming. And we were all in the same room. So it was a little nerve wracking thinking, why are we doing this? But that's what all of our plans say. We come together, we figure out what we're doing next. It's convenient that we were updating our emergency operations plan because now we have built that in. We have implemented technology solutions that have made it possible for us to work together and coordinate. And I haven't been in the same room with many of the people that we coordinate with every week in months, but we're still able to work effectively and efficiently by implementing these new systems and incorporating them into our processes for the future. It's just like what we keep saying on a lot of the things we're doing is we've changed the way we're doing it for COVID, but a lot of what we're implementing will work in whatever time period we come back to some sense of normalcy in the future. So that's what we're really trying to do is long-lasting solutions.
Now, we were 1 year into the biennial budget. Do we have a sense of whether the pandemic caused a stress on that budget or maybe actually led to some extra finances being around because some things didn't have to be done? Do we have a sense of where that ended up?
We do, actually. And I would say yes and both to both of those. And this year has presented all sorts of challenges and stresses on our organization, which, of course, have a tie to dollars and resources in all sorts of ways. We actually did, in early June, a really formal analysis of all of our operating funds and operations and gave a report to the city council. And to summarize that, there was the most obvious strain and challenge in anything that dealt with events, gatherings, food distribution, et cetera. And for the city of Florence, that really hit home hard for the Florence Event Center. The Florence Event Center is a city-operated facility and program. We had to fairly quickly make decisions with no events occurring and all the organizations obviously responding responsibly to the guidelines and the situation at the time that events were canceled, concerts were postponed, conferences were rescheduled, and then eventually, often, unfortunately, just altogether canceled as the severity of the issue came from a 2 week, 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, and now it's a way of life as we learn to operate and live life with a virus. And as it continues to be with Lane County at the time of this broadcast, we're still in extreme risk category, and event venues and entertainment facilities are strictly prohibited to be open at this time. So as you can imagine, that had an impact on staff. We did have to lay off our staff at the event center, which included full-time and part-time employees that dealt with all aspects of the organization, from catering to technical support and facility operations and our administrative functions. And so we've just been operating the Florence Event Center at a very bare bones way as we navigated and were flexible with the pandemic. And I got a little off track there with the event center. Altogether, everything else, you know, we all have become really familiar with the term essential service, essential workers. And we've always felt and known that the city was a central part of our community to keeping the lifeblood pumping and moving in a very underground and behind the scenes way. And that became really magnified of the importance of the city services this year as we kept the construction economy moving along with our building and planning department remaining open in virtual ways and seeing a lot of activity in the construction industry occurring this year. Water and wastewater, stormwater, those utility fees that you pay to the city so that you can have clean drinking water, and the modern luxury of your waste being, you know, flushed down the toilet and out and taken care of in clean and safe ways, keeping stormwater runoff in safe and clean ways before it gets to the river, and keeping our streets clear and not flooded. You know, all those things are really important, and we didn't want to have another disaster upon a disaster. So we kept our employees, for the most part, outside of the event center working through this pandemic. And that's a whole nother conversation, as many employers know, of keeping your employees as safe as possible while there is a pandemic running strongly through your world.
All right. Now come summertime, we had to have a change of command there. You took a little break, and Megan, you came on. When you came into the interim position, did you feel like, with everything that had been done up to that point, with COVID and everything, do you feel like the city had reached its stride as far as maneuvering through this, or were there still change upon change coming at this point?
Well, I do feel like we had done quite a bit. We moved very quickly, just like all other organizations that were trying to pivot into how do you keep some of your staff who are working physically at your facility safe while you make it effective for your other members of staff to work remotely. That's a big change. It's a lot of technology implementation, and we had pretty much done that. Anything else was just improvement upon our initial response there. We had implemented meeting procedures, so that was helpful. I guess the most difficult part related to COVID is that it's not predictable. None of us have ever lived through something like this in our current technology age. So knowing what comes next is not a luxury we have. So just trying to address what we're doing, moving into our tourist season, that was a little scary. This is a communicable disease, and we're telling people to stay close to home. And that means that they're not flying to Hawaii or Mexico or whatever vacation they were planning. They were coming to their own beaches,
their
which
own
is
backyard,
us.
Yeah.
And how do you balance knowing that that is good for our small businesses who are struggling during this time, and also wanting to keep people safe and healthy, and at the same time knowing you really have no control over any of it. But there was a lot to do, so we were kept busy and just did the best we could to support the businesses and health and safety at the same time.
Yeah, and it looked for a little while there like we might get a little break from it, and then it came back gangbusters. And we're kind of running out of time, so Aaron, I want to turn it over to you to kind of let you loose on finishing up the year after you got back, and just kind of give us, you know, how the year ended up for us.
Well, you can't make this stuff up. So my first day back from maternity leave officially and as planned was after Labor Day weekend. And one thing I think we unfortunately forget is that was the day the fires really were ravaging across Oregon, the wildfires to the south, the east, and the north of us, and the impacts from the smokes for those weeks and just the ongoing recovery efforts was just mind-boggling on top of the pandemic and the pending election. So that's what I came back to. I am so grateful for the great work that Megan and our staff in the city council continued as I was on my maternity leave. And so I was thankful to not have that to worry about. Instead, it was just really jumping right back in, Megan walking alongside all the way as I came back on board. So I appreciate that. But just to finish out the year, and still many successes and achievements. I'm proud of the work that the city's done and our involvement in our community. I am happy to report that through many community engagement activities that we were able to do virtually or in kind of unique physical distanced ways, we were able to do through the Rhododendron Festival, the virtual parade, some scavenger hunts, and then, of course, topping it off with the Home for the Holidays and Making Spirits Bright program that we did at the end. And a big thank you to our partners, the Florence Area Chamber of Commerce, and then also the Florence Habitat for Humanity. And then, of course, our public works staff that did all the decorating and now are taking it all down. We're just happy to be able to end the year on a bright and very family-friendly and community-friendly way. Looking ahead, City Council did get sworn in this week. We have Mayor Henry returning and two new councilors, Councilor Sally Wants and Councilor Bill Meyer. I think a lot of people are familiar with them. I encourage you to take a look at the city's council meeting and get to know them a bit, and you'll have many chances ahead. And we look forward to working with the city council and our staff in the community as the city gets back to work and puts together a city work plan based on the goals that they develop as a group. And then we'll put together a budget and see what's in store for 2021 and 2020 through 2023 for the city's budget. And as Megan said, just in conclusion, none of us, we've always known this, but now we really know this. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know what the year ahead holds. But what we do know is the people we're working with and what we have learned in the years previous of how to be flexible and adaptable and how to treat each other and how to work together as partners to accomplish whatever each day holds. And for that, I'm really thankful for and still have much hope for the year ahead and the years to come for the city of Florence.
And I just wanted to say from us here at Coast Radio, we think you both did a heck of a job this year. And, you know, I don't think anybody else could have done anything better than what you two both did, tandem and separately. So thank you so much for your service and your willingness to just kind of bear down and make things happen. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, George. And we thank the Florence community for their support and for the city council, both previous and the new council, for their support with their leadership and their policy decisions. They give us the green light to do this amazing work, and we're just honored to do that.
All right. Thank you both so much. Appreciate your time today. Coming up next on our January edition of Our Town, Jason Davis with Lane County Public Health. He gives us quite a bit of information on what's happening with COVID-19 and the administration of vaccines.